Welcome, everyone, to Room 42. Today's episode is the pilot episode we did in the TC Dojo before we launched Room 42. We wanted to share this episode with you so that you could see where it comes from. Thank you. Enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the TC Dojo from Single Sourcing Solutions. The TC Dojo is a TechCom community that is driven by you. Tell us what you want to learn. You choose the topics, and we find the experts. In the Open Session Dojo today, we have Pam Estes-Brewer here to talk about remote work and virtual teaming. She's been working on this for 15 years, and she's got more than just 2 cents. She's got actual research to back up her advice and her suggestions. Thanks to everyone who sent in questions earlier to get started. Pam is an associate professor at the Mercer University and the director of the Masters in Technical Communication Management program. She's a scholar, she's a research reviewer for journals, and we're especially grateful she could be here in the TC Dojo today to share her experience and productivity with us. This is a different session than normal. We're doing a discussion, so don't save your questions till the end. Be sure to type them in as you go. This is Janice Summers. She's going to do our interview, and welcome Pam.
Thanks. I'm really excited to be here, and I see some familiar names.
Yeah, we're very excited to have you. And this topic is, of course, one of the current hot topics, but you've been in this deep in the trenches for over 15 years now. You've done an extensive amount of research. You've authored books and papers. What is it that drew you to this topic at the time? Because technology, life has changed. We're not in the same place we were 15 years ago. So what drew you to this in the beginning?
I think what drew me to it in the beginning was I was a student in the online PhD program at Texas Tech. And I had looked for a really good quality program for years that was accessible to me. And so they didn't go online until they were ready to do it really well. And that inspired me. That and then my interest in some of the international psychology from people like Hofstede and Hall. And you just put that together. And I think that's where it started.
Putting all those pieces of the international and the global perspective and virtual teams. Now, in your research, are there some characteristics that are define what a successful virtual team is in their performance? Are there like a set of things that these are good predictors that you're going to be successful in having a remote work?
Absolutely. And I wanted to say as we get started today that if I don't dive deeply enough into something that y'all are interested in, I'm really happy to have more conversation later. But some predictors of successful teams would include my number one, and that is that if you were to ask each member of your team separately, so we're not in a room now, we're having a one-on-one conversation, and you were to ask that person, okay, so what is the purpose of our team? And you do that periodically to take the temperature of the team. And if you're getting the same answer from each member of the team or close to the same answer, you know that you've got a team that is bonded by your purpose, and that's what you want. So that's your gateway to do a temperature check on your team. Now, of course, people have different agendas in terms of where certain teams fit into their careers, and that's fine. That's to be expected. But everybody should be circling around a single set of purposes. And if they know that, you kind of know that you're on the same page. Other things that indicate successful performance are things that you would expect. For example, meeting goals, meeting deadlines, and having a sense of presence. It's another question you actually could ask your team members when you talk to them. How present do you feel the members of your team are? How present do you feel in the team? Because if people are communicating often and effectively towards the purpose, your team's going to have a sense of presence with one another.
So that feeling that even though you might be around the globe and in a different time zone, I'm still connected to you. That feeling mm-hmm. of connectedness as a whole.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's actually fairly easy to get disconnected. You all have probably experienced that by mm-hmm. someone where you just don't hear from them often enough. You're not quite sure when you're going to hear from them. You're not quite sure if they're going to meet that goal. So you've got plan B in your back pocket. Those are things that would indicate that your team doesn't have as healthy a presence as you need.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, and how do you like avoid the pitfalls? Like, what are the biggest pitfalls that people trip into as virtual teams that are going to predict their failure, basically?
Well, you can kind of take the opposite of what I've just said. If you're mm-hmm. getting different answers to what the purpose is, you've got a team that needs some triage. Mm-hmm. If you've got people who don't feel a pretty solid sense of trust in their teammates and a pretty solid sense of presence, then you've got, again, a team that needs some triage. You need to be addressing those things. And of course, it all comes down to if those things aren't working, then you aren't accomplishing what you need to accomplish in the strictest of business senses. But there are actually two things at play, two things at risk. One is your company production, whatever mm-hmm. those purposes are, those goals. But the other one is the sense of satisfaction and I want to say comfort, but not exactly. People don't have to be comfortable all the time, and they shouldn't be. But a sense of satisfaction that I have a place here, I know what my goals are, and I know that I and my team are making movement toward them.
And that the individual has an impact. Because I'm sure there's studies out there, and I don't quote me, that say that the key to happiness is purpose, right? And that's the biggest satisfaction is having a sense of purpose.
I'd have to think about that, but maybe, yeah.
Yeah, because they've done studies like in different countries, and I can't remember where I read the research, but it was actually... It was having a sense of purpose. It wasn't always being happy all the time. It was just a sense of purpose. And sometimes purpose has a little bit of challenges, right? But that's
absolutely.
So that's okay. Now, are there characteristics for an individual that would have a strong predictor for?
You know, can I go back just one sure. step, Janice, and then I'll get to that? One thing you can also do is to let your teams know that messiness or a certain amount of discomfort is an okay thing. You can make them comfortable with the unknown by assuring them, by supporting them that, you know, we're going to get better outcomes if we embrace some of these unknowns for this period of the project. Because making that explicit, the fact that, hey, it's okay to be uncomfortable, can really increase production as well. Now you have to keep that within a structure, right? We can't be uncomfortable and all over the place, but yeah.
And flailing out there.
No flailing. So back to individual predictors of who might be successful. You know, I am a believer that anybody can be successful in remote work. I am a believer that remote structures, if they're done right, can work really well in education, work really well in business, and work really well for the individual. Yeah, you need some good habits, some best practices,
right.
But no predictors that one person is going to be a failure online and somebody else is fine.
Right. But there are some things that we have control as individuals that can help foster a higher degree of satisfaction and successfulness in working remote, right?
Absolutely. And I would say there's a connection between social communication, meaning, you know, that informal stuff, we get to know each other, mm-hmm. and building trust and effective knowledge transfer. Mm-hmm. And absolutely, knowledge is a commodity that we're transferring online, right?
Right.
So you have to have your teams build habits that follow that sequence from social to trust to production. And you probably could name many of the things that help to build trust. Being on time, coming through with what you say you're going to come through, producing high quality, mm-hmm. Being somebody that other people can count on. Those are the things that help to build trust, whether we're face-to-face or whether we're online. And so the thing is that some of the cues I give you face-to-face that you can trust me, mm-hmm. you don't automatically have online. So you have to find ways to build that online. For example, a biggie is that people know absolutely when and how they could reach you.
Right.
Which does not mean 24/7, folks. We need a life.
Yeah. And before we march away from that, because there's a lot of people who are under that assumption that I have to be 100% available all of the time in order to be trusted. Is that correct or false?
I think people tend to think that, and I think they feel some pressure when they go online. They want to be visible to their mm-hmm. organizations, and so they feel some pressure to be available 24/7. And I don't think that's healthy for an organization. It's certainly not healthy for a person. And I certainly don't want to live that way.
Right. So
I have to build that presence in another way.
Right.
And I can let you know when I'm going to be available, and then I'm available.
Yeah.
I can let you know how you can reach me, and you can reach me that way.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you. For example, globally, people like a 12 to 24 hour turnaround,
right.
unless they're having an emergency.
Right.
I can guarantee you that you'll hear from me within 12 to 24 hours, even if what I'm going to tell you is, I don't have the answer to that yet, but I'll have it for you by X.
Right. So
and,
even just responding
yes.
back with an acknowledgement of, I hear you.
Yeah.
I'm aware of this. I don't have an answer yet. Is okay. As long
Absolutely.
As they're responding back. And they have set expectations for
right.
their customer, whatever, of what their personal performance for them is going to be as far as getting back to them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I'm available to you, whatever it is, 8 mm-hmm. to 5 or 8 to 7. You know, you're really this committed person. 8 to 7 Eastern U.S. time. And I am. But after
right.
that, no, you can't. Count on me during my time with my family or my whatever.
Right, right. So this is also a good way to make sure that you're maintaining boundaries. If you're finding yourself in a remote work environment, boundaries are important, right?
Very much so. And if you think about it, boundaries do get blurred and kind of Picasso'd, kind of disfigured online.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, you know, you know pretty much that you can talk to me if I'm sitting in my office and my office door's open. That's an mm-hmm. invitation,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have that same clear signal online unless I make sure that you have it in some way. And people, they want boundaries because just like we've said, we don't want to be available 24/7, but by the same token roles, for example, what Janice is responsible for on a project and what I'm responsible for, we want boundaries between those roles too. Janice is not going to appreciate it if she has spent all of today completing a part of the project. And then this evening I let her know, hey, I finished this and it's about a quarter of what you spent your time on today. No, you know, she's just wasted her time. So you have to find those ways to communicate boundaries of space, of time, of project roles online. And being proactive about that is just a testimony to your professionalism. You look better if you can do that than if you have no boundaries and people view you as boundaryless.
Right. And as a manager managing remote teams, you kind of need to make sure that you're encouraging that amongst your employees, right?
Absolutely. If I'm the manager, I've got a real responsibility for the culture of my team, mm-hmm. Whether that's an online team or a face-to-face team. I need to let them know, okay, these are the absolutes for our team. These mm-hmm. are the things that we need to discuss as a team and come up with our own agreement on. Mm-hmm. But I'm the one who has to set those boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Right. So do some companies or organizations fare better doing virtual teams than others? I mean, is the technology of the company or what they do, is that an indicator?
I believe the companies I've seen struggle with this the most are those who have strong face-to-face teams mm-hmm. and then online teams, and the boundaries are weak. And what results from that is that some of your folks, but especially your online folks, will end up with responsibility without authority. Responsibility without authority is a real, really injures team productivity, both in terms of production and employee satisfaction. So the companies that are all online don't struggle as much as the companies who have face-to-face and remote. But that's not because they have to struggle. It's just they haven't figured it out in a lot of cases that I've observed. They need an equal playing ground and an equal presence for their online and their face-to-face employees. I cannot have remote teams who are integral paired with face-to-face teams, or maybe just teams that are made up of both, and, for example, have regular face-to-face events, celebrations, meetings, whatever, that include only my face-to-face folks, and my online folks are an afterthought. That doesn't work. Those remote folks can't be an afterthought.
Right. So you'd have to make sure that you're including them in strange and different ways. Because if because there's no doubt when you're face-to-face, it's quite easy to, have a quick little break and a lunch and what have you, and there's that intimacy. How would you go about including your remote people in that environment? I think we've seen some pretty creative things happening lately.
I know. I love it. I totally love it. The innovative ways people have created presence in the last 2 months has been phenomenal. One of my favorites are these drive-through graduation ceremonies.
Yeah.
That can give a real sense of celebration and satisfaction. And I thought, oh, that kudos to whoever first came up with that one. I loved it.
Yeah.
You have to make an effort to do things that are meaningful to those online folks. And you've got to communicate that too to your face-to-face folks. I mean, everybody needs to know that the remote and online staff have equal playing ground. Well, within your organization structure, but equal playing ground and accurate boundaries. I'm trying to think of ways that I've done that. One thing that's easy to forget for your remote folks, because, I might come up to Liz, at a conference and say, oh, Liz, that blog post you did, fabulous. I used that. And I just thought of it, so I said it. And I can forget those kudos online a little easier or a little more easily. I don't so much anymore because I'm online so much, and I think more people are getting that way. But it's easy to forget something like a kudo or something like now Liz is, I was so impressed by Liz's blog post, right? So I want to let Liz's boss know that, but Liz doesn't have a boss. Well, Janice is Liz's boss, but
she does have a boss.
She does. Well, online, I might be more likely to forget to take that step to send out a kudo for Liz to her boss, something kind of formal maybe. And maybe even as formal as a letter that goes in the post, but something that's somewhat formal that, okay, then again, what I'm doing by giving Liz that kudo is I am making her presence greater. I'm bringing her to mind for her boss, Janice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. I just got sidetracked and I'm Liz's boss now. So that's cool.
Yeah, there, you got it. Yeah.
So how do you distinguish or address between productive remote workers and non-productive?
Yeah, I saw that question and I was starting to think about it, and that's going to be a deeper dive because I'll be honest with you, we need more metrics on this. We do not have the metrics and the studies we need yet that could answer that question really well.
Right.
That's also true in the field of tech comm. We need some metrics.
And isn't that have a lot to do with, I mean, managing remote is a different, there's a different style to it in management. And when they're even in performance evaluation, isn't there a different matrix that you use for remote versus, because isn't it shift from more task and physical presence to project or deliverables based when you're remote?
You know, Janice, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think task and presence is fundamental online or face-to-face. Mm-hmm. I don't think it changes at all. Mm-hmm. Just how we make sure that we're communicating those things. So I think it's still task and presence. I think it's still evaluation and whatever metrics your organization uses. But what I think we don't have yet is how can we, and I may disagree with myself right there in the middle of the statement, how can we determine whether this remote worker is productive as opposed to non-productive? Mm-hmm. I would say go back to the same way you would do it face-to-face, whatever those metrics are, and then make sure that you are communicating, launching, and responding to those tools online as well. It's not different. It's just a matter of communicating it with tech instead of communicating it with behind a mask face-to-face.
So when it comes
to... Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Now, but when it comes to technology, are there like certain types of tools, not branded, but are there certain types of tools that you need to have lined up to help support a virtual world? What are some of the key things that you see from a technology? And boy, in 15 years, technology has changed, hasn't it?
Yeah, tremendously. Yeah.
So
just, yeah.
Go ahead. What do you see in there?
No, that's a fabulous question. Because I can't have, at least I don't believe I can have a productive remote team using only one technology. Mm-hmm. And the way I look at it is, comes out of research. We have media that run from lean to rich. Mm-hmm. Lean media are really limited in terms of cues. So like email, the only cues I get with email are words and punctuation and maybe an emoticon, but hey, that's, you know, in business, we're not going to be throwing those out there a whole lot.
I can't read emoticons. I'm emoticon handicapped.
I'm having that problem with memes right now. They just go.
I know. What do you mean by that? Yeah.
Yeah. So there's the lean media on one end, the email. And then on the other end are the really rich media. And probably the richest media we have online right now are what we're doing right now, web conferencing. Because we've got the voice, we got the text, we got expressions, we got volume, we've got all of those cues. They're the closest we've got to face-to-face right now. Mm-hmm. Well, your teams need some lean and some rich media. And they need to have discussed how they want to use those media, because that can change culturally as well. Mm-hmm. What media are acceptable for what tasks. But typically, no matter where you are on the globe, you want some lean, you want some rich, and you want your teams to have discussed how those are going to be used for the team.
So there's a lot of, from hearing you, there's a lot of things that you've repeated over and over again, that there's a lot of a team sign-off and team agreement. So they're involved. From my perspective, what I'm hearing you say is that they're involved, kind of like co-creators, in maintaining and establishing a successful virtual team.
You betcha.
Okay.
From the beginning to the end.
Yeah, because one of my questions was going to be, how do companies prepare? I mean, if you want to move your team to virtual, or you have to move your team to virtual, how do you prepare people to thrive in an environment where they may never have had the opportunity to be present in?
Good question. I have publications on that take it through a flow. But the first step is that you set your team purpose, team members, and possibly team roles. And then you set up a series of meetings like this, mm-hmm. where your team meta-communicates. And that it means where they communicate about communication. And this is where your team starts navigating what the goals for the team are, the purpose, and the part they have to play in it, and the questions they have, and the standards and the norms they want to have. What technology do you want to use? What kind of turnaround time do you need? How do you feel about taking on this role? Now, I know that organizations are going to appoint people with roles, but within those teams, there needs to be some discussion of all that infrastructure that's going to keep the team going. And meta communication is something that helps you do that. I discovered a long time ago that teams, face-to-face teams or online, didn't recognize patterns in their communication that in a lot of cases can predict success and failure. And it wasn't until they actually stepped back and we talked about what happened that we could acknowledge the patterns and make sure they worked for us. And those are the things that have to happen at the beginning of successful virtual teams. If you don't, well, then it's just going to be trial and error. We'll see if it works. And those odds are not as good as we would like them to be.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to have to go just with trial and error. And I noticed in your book, and I want to encourage everyone, I have to go, because I was reading through part of your book, and I want to encourage everyone to pick up this book, because there's a lot of research in here, and International Virtual Teams Engineering Global Success. And
thank you.
I put it in the chat window.
Oh, it's in the chat window. Thank you. Liz is just like doing this, and I'm like, I don't know what that means. Here we have a failure in communication.
and the blog
for what? 10 plus
years. Yeah.
And we still have breakdowns in communication. And it's funny, earlier when you were mentioning how some people, you know, you run the risk of feeling disconnected when you're out there, especially if you're in different time zones and you're the lone person in that time zone. You can feel like, and I remember there's times where I just feel like I'm like in a space suit floating out in space, and there's like a little tiny tether connecting me to the mothership, and I just need to reel myself in. But anyways, okay. But there's a lot
That's
of
a
research.
Good metaphor.
Metaphor. But I want to get to some questions too. because we had some advanced questions. I don't know how we're doing on time. I got lost in our conversation. How are we doing on time, timekeeper?
Let's go another 5 or 10 minutes since we started a little bit late.
Okay. All right. I lost the question that I was going to ask.
I'll mention real quickly, Liz put in the chat that I and a team are launching a blog, a website in July that will have Q&A potential where people can submit questions and comments, and then we'll respond, and it will be moderated, but you'll be able to see other people's Q&A. In the hope that with everything changing so quickly right now, that we can keep the conversations and the research going in order to help one another.
Right. Yeah, that's very good. And we'll make sure that once that website's launched, that we'll include it in the links below this video when the video gets posted, so that people can have a direct link to that and ask questions. Because there's a lot of meat that you have to share. And in your book, there's a lot of research. It's all research backed. And all of that is important for people to tap into. One of the questions is, how do we keep work efficiency going?
I think that's a great question. I won't say that on every question. Although they generally are really great
questions. They are good questions, aren't they?
It's so easy when we're working remotely to have, I think, inefficiencies set in where our work day trickles far into our personal day, where I might think that, okay, I just sat down and worked on that for 2 hours. I don't feel like I've got 2 hours of product for that. So I think something that's working really well for me and for some others is to work kind of agilely, to kind of work in sprints. And you can set up your sprint schedule, but where you set 20 minutes of I'm on it, I'm totally focused, or 30 or whatever's good for you, but a sprint with a goal in it, and then take a break, you know, movement, whatever, do some of the small things on your schedule that don't require as much thought. But I think that real awareness of time in small segments has got the promise to help deal with that inefficiency creep that can sometimes happen when you're alone physically.
Yeah. Mind drift is a real thing. It is. And it's easier to keep your focus for a limited period of time and then to release that and let it go and let your mind float. Because you get some creative breakthroughs that way. At least that's what I found, and I don't have any science backing that.
there's a new name for that strategy. I think it's 20 minutes on and 5 minutes off, and I'm forgetting the name of that. If anybody...
Oh, somebody's named it? Okay, good.
Somebody name it there?
No. I don't know if they've named it there. I just didn't know anybody named it. I know that, you know, it's funny because sometimes... when we have a general rule at Single Sourcing Solutions, and when we're like working on building style sheets for people or working on something that's highly technical, we'll spin for only 20 minutes. If you're spinning for 20 minutes, then reach out, put it down, or reach out to somebody.
And see, we've got those techniques. We just have to think, okay, which ones are really important to remote work? And yeah, somebody named it there in the chat, the Pomodoro method.
Oh, okay. Didn't know it had a name. So what are some of the strategies? Because like we're face to face virtually right now, but that's not always the case with people. How do they create those personal bonds in remote situations? And we're talking languages, right? So across the globe, you're talking language, which has, you know, social differences. What are some strategies to create a stronger personal bond?
Okay. And I would think this would be a great one for people to just rattle off ideas in the chat, because, you know, things work differently for each of us. But some of the things that help me are to learn a little more about you, just like I would face to face. And, you know, I remember that... you know, you guys are out on the Pacific coast. How's the weather out there? Oh my gosh, I can't believe that earthquake hit you. That wasn't really funny, but there you go. But at any rate, I take an interest and I try to remember that you are you. You are a person, and I bring that to me in an awareness in our conversations. Mm-hmm. I also allow some time for social communication. That's not wasted time. That is time to get to know people, to bond, to develop relationships. That is important stuff. And mm-hmm. you have to make more time for it deliberately. My daughter works for an online company, and they have, most of them are remote. And so they've moved to a Friday happy hour online with each other. Those things that can help promote some social informal communication.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Now, and how about communicating because oftentimes we're in a situation where we have to communicate with people who aren't so good at communicating or are more closed off or just tend to be more in their own little world. And we have to pull information from them. How does that change in the virtual world versus if we're in the same building?
You know, in a way it doesn't change because mm-hmm. you still need to try to encourage some more response from that person. Mm-hmm. Online, one of the options you have that works really well is try to start establishing some open communication from them via lean media. Mm-hmm. So in other words, people might be less likely to talk because they're an introvert, because they're shy, because they don't have a good command of whatever language you're using. There are a lot of reasons for it. And this, with all of the cues, can be kind of intimidating. So mm-hmm. trying to have some opportunities with lean media can mm-hmm. help to bring those people out. And then once they've contributed and begin to feel more comfortable with the team, then this part gets a little easier too.
Right.
Yeah.
And minimal encouragers I've found have been very helpful. So if you're just in audio, but because a lot of times we nod our head, like I have a habit of nodding my head. You can't hear me nod on the phone.
Right. And teleconferences are my least favorite. I don't like that. It's like the awkward, most awkward, particularly for non-native speakers of a language.
Yeah. Well, and don't we have to use all methods, right? Mm-hmm. Written, mm-hmm. audio, visual, using all methods and just reinforcing back to people.
Yes.
So can virtual meetings be as effective as in-person meetings?
Oh, yeah. Aren't we all finding that now? I mean, we're diagnosing some of the problems with our online media or meetings and fixing those, but absolutely they are very productive. Depending on my personality, I might come out of it feeling drained or fulfilled or whatever it is I feel. But in terms of productivity, you run an online meeting, a healthy one, just like you would any other. You've got your goals, you've got your owners of your tasks, you make sure you've got the works. Yeah.
And I think one of the things during, because of the current situation, nothing like a health crisis to really drive people towards towards being in the virtual world. But I thought one of the most interesting things was the online appointments with doctors, mm-hmm. health doctors, having diagnostics that are done online. So virtual office meeting with your doctor, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
They have found that it's highly productive. Mm-hmm. And they can pull you into the physical office when you need to come in, but they can do an initial consult online.
Absolutely. And don't you think we could make that work in any venue?
Yeah.
There are stages and...
Right. And it seems like a lot of companies, as a result of all of this, there's companies out there that have expressed an increase in productivity and expressed an interest in maintaining a virtual platform for their employees going forward.
Absolutely. And a lot of employees are saying that they hope that that's the case.
Now, how would you, if you're an employee, how would you encourage your employer to continue along this platform? If not 100%, but maybe a percentage, how would you push from the bottom up?
There's a lot of context there that I don't have for answering that question, because it would vary a lot. But I would say that, of course, your organizations love metrics. So any metrics you can provide about the successes that you're having, as well as your preferences, you know, start communicating that up. You can do it informally or formally. You could even go so far as to do a relatively minimal feasibility report on how your office can proceed forward, either remotely or hybridly, whatever it is you want to propose. Mm-hmm. So you can absolutely do that from grassroots up. And remember that you may have people in your line who just can't see virtual working. I mean, more people are now than they used to, for sure. But there are still some old guard who think it just can't work. And you have to help them envision that. You have to show them how it works.
Right. And adaptability to technology is one of the key things, is being able to tap into technology and utilize it.
Yep. And believe me, universities are facing that right now. How do we envision education moving forward?
Yeah, education is really interesting. Now, you're a professor at a university. Now, you are a professor in a online master's program for technical communications, right?
Right. We're a face-to-face bachelor's, and we're an online master's.
Mm-hmm. Which is very interesting. Now, with all of these universities having to adopt more virtual, how are they preparing people in the university setting?
They're all over the place right now. They're doing everything from the California system that's staying online for the fall to places like my university that says we're going to be back in our seats for the fall. So they are trying to find their way, and they've got to do it. And this is going to be true for your companies too. They've got a brand, and whatever they're selling.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
They've got it. The universities have a brand just like any organization. And so they've got to find out, how do we move forward and plan for the future and support our brand, whatever that is. And just to give you an example, I teach at a private school, and part of our brand is that face-to-face on campus state-of-the-art research lab brand. And we have to figure out, okay, so how do we do that? And we can, but yeah, you adapt with your brand.
Yeah, it was funny. I was talking to a professor at a Michigan university, and she said one of the things we teach students is how to do the background, because you need to have that boundary with public spaces, right, from your private space. And that's just, you know, one of many things. It's really
absolutely
interesting.
Yes, as the curtain was dropped. It's the funniest part, I think, about all of this, when everybody's thrust into a virtual world. I'm not usually on video, actually. I've done extensive training with customers that have never seen my face until years later. Mm-hmm. So I've done a lot of things just with my voice. Yeah, so I have this virtual background. So a lot of people have experienced some interesting things. My cats, by the way, decided they weren't getting my attention, so they decided to pull the curtain. And that's what happened. But it's funny how a lot of these things actually, you know, you don't sweat it, because we're all people. And it's that human state that comes in, and I don't think people should be afraid of that happening, but I do believe you should have a virtual background.
Well, no, I don't. I mean, you're seeing my study right now. I've got virtual backgrounds. I mean, I've been flying over Mercer's campus while I've talked some places, you know, but mostly my studies, my professional space, I'm very comfortable with that. But I do think about what's behind me. I had a student once who had a Victoria's Secret bag hanging right behind her for a semester. And I didn't say anything. And I would now, but at the time I didn't.
But the nice thing is there is a solution. So if you're in an environment and you're working in a virtual world, you can set up a virtual background because people can walk behind me. I'm in a shared space, mm-hmm. right? I don't have an isolated room or a study in my yeah. home that's dedicated just to me. My office is in a little corner of my dining room. So people
Good
can
examples.
Walk in and out,
yeah.
right? So it allows me to be able to have a work from home space. And I don't necessarily have a private office, and not everybody has a private office that they can close off or a background that they would think that they would want to share. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there it goes again.
Okay. So let me see if there's any other questions that came in at the last minute. How are we doing on time, Liz?
I think we should wrap up. Thanks everybody for sending in your questions and helping us try out this new type of thing. We don't, it's not always webinars, sit and learn, that we should work together and discuss, because that's how some of us learn best, trying many things.
Thank you all so much. I'm enjoying the questions and the comments too.
That was really great. Thank you, Pam, for doing this. You're always a great guest. I love having you here.
So, somebody was asking about people who are salaried versus hourly. I'm not quite certain. Are hourly workers encouraged to work shorter hours to save the company money? I'm not certain. How that, Is there a difference between salaried or hourly employees as far as expectations in the virtual world and online?
I think that would be a company culture issue.
Right.
I think probably there's a way of thinking that wants you to hold hourly workers more to the clock, so to speak. And so you'd have to think about how that impacted, but they're still working towards certain goals and levels of productivity.
Right. Because I know support people, they're typically not salaried employees. Support people are typically hourly employees, but they have tools that they use that log their time. Mm-hmm. So when they take a break, they log out of a tool and it tracks time.
I've seen that. Mm-hmm.
So it's again, back to, you know, there might be some different tools depending on your position and your structure, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, and you make a good point about the tool, you know, that a company can very easily set up a timekeeping system where people essentially sign in, sign out when they're on the clock, so to speak. And I'm just reading. There's Kelly. Hey, Kelly.
Okay. Well, thank you to everyone for being here and participating. That's a great chat stream. We'll post a lot of this. All the links are on the website, the event page where you registered. We'll add some of the advice here to also maybe post the chat. I'm not sure. Might pull out some of it at least. And we're going to try this again after this worked out so well. Thank you, Pam.
Thank you, Pam.
Fabulous.
This has been really interesting.
Good job, Janice.
And I really was interested. Your book is fascinating. I think everybody should get that book. Absolutely.
It was good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But you guys are such a pleasure to work with, and you're always doing the cutting edge stuff. And I feel so safe with you because I trust you.
And isn't that what it's really about as far as, you know, predictor of success for those people out there in the virtual world who have to work in a virtual situation? Just work on establishing trust. And it's the same thing you have to do when you're in person with people. And the thing is it can be done in a virtual world, just as effectively, if not more effectively, when you're in a virtual world, right?
Yes.
Get Pam's book.
Yes. It makes me want to break into song. We are living in a
virtual world, right? That's material.
Thank you all so much. It's been a pleasure.